This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, third hour here on Tiki and Tierney. What's going on? We're coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All is good. By the way, happy birthday again to my partner. You want to drop him a tweet? By all means, send them in. Wish them happy birthday. At Tiki and Tierney. And Rondé as well.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. Have you heard from Rondé yet?
I'm not. He's busy watching European soccer, I'm sure. Champions League is on right now. Another CBS Sports property, by
That's
the way.
Right. That's right.
I just finished. I was kind of watching out of the corner of my eye.
Corner of your eye. I looked up. I said, it's funny you say that. The last segment, you literally watched the entire segment.
Yes,
because yes, you did.
It was the end of the Champions League first leg of PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, and Bayern Munich, which was a rematch of the champion of the final last year. And Kylian Mbappe had a hell of a match. He scored two goals, and one of them was epic. So they were showing the highlights. So I was just catching it out of the corner of my eye because it's on my computer, which is on the other side of the room.
I got you. So we're going to get to Mac Jones and something that was pretty interesting. But if we don't get back to it here, I'll probably forget about it. Before we had Nota Begay on, right?
Yes.
We played the sound from Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Last night on Inside. And last night was one of the first nights he and Candace Parker, to my knowledge, didn't have a little on-air, not a beef, because I think they actually get along. But, well, sometimes I wonder if they actually get along. I don't know. What I've said is that I'm not sure that she actually respects the amount of time that Shaq's putting into the game, because she's coming at it with incredible precision, incredible force. I think she's great on TV.
Yeah. And Shaq is like, hey, back in my day.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Shaq is kind of mailing it in. He's just being Shaq, which is really what he's paid to do. He's paid to be Shaq. And Candace is climbing. So I respect the effort on her part. And I could also respect why, if that's the case, that would bother her a little bit. But this goes back several clips that we've talked about. But we still love Shaq. We love him. He's got a huge heart. He's a gentle giant. And so I guess he's got some lines in some jewelry in Zales. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. The only reason I know that is because when they were talking about this on the show last night, he was setting up the clip, and he said, yeah, I was in Zales. And D-Wade's like, you were in Zales? What are you doing in Zales shopping for? Because he was looking for hoop earrings. He's like, yo, I got a jewelry line in Zales. And D-Wade's like, my bad, no disrespect. He's basically dissing it. And then he's like, I got some business there. And he started laughing. So long story short, there was a young man who was shopping for an engagement ring. And Shaq was in the store at the same time looking for hoop earrings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are the hoops still in? Hoops? I wore hoop
thing. It had to have been for like his daughter or girl or somebody, because there is no way that hoop earrings are still in for dudes.
Did you never had an earring?
I did. I had both ears pierced, actually, and I actually had a little hoop in this one, and then I had a it was like a little T. And I stopped wearing it because James Ferrier, we called him Potsy, who played at UVA with me. It's his nickname, Potsy. Everybody knows him.
From Happy Days?
Potsy. I don't think there was a connection. I don't know how he got the nickname. Probably because he was
odd. He
had a pot belly when he was
all right,
a little
makes
kid.
Sense. Gotcha.
But Potsy drilled me in practice. This was our second year. And the earring, the back of the earring,
yep,
ripped into
the clasp.
No, not the clasp. Oh. Like the stem. You know how I was like,
okay,
like
the pointy stuff.
The
gotcha.
Pointy thing. It dug into my skin and ripped a gash in my neck right here. And I still have a little keloid back behind my ear.
Oh wow!
And so, at that moment, I stopped wearing earrings. I never wore, my hole is still open, but I stopped wearing earrings.
So you had the one stud in one and the one stud in the other?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. D-Cell, do you ever have earrings?
I did. I actually got mine when I was in elementary school.
Elementary school?
Elementary school.
Elementary school?
Yeah,
Your mom let you get an earring in elementary school?
Yeah, my mom went with me to the mall to get my ear pierced, and I was terrified because I don't do well with pain.
Uh-huh.
And I was right. It hurt like hell.
Yep.
And, yeah, I had it. And actually, the reason why I stopped wearing it, I went to Catholic school.
Yeah, so did I.
At the time, and they wouldn't let me wear it while I was in school, so I got tired of putting it in and out. So I just let the hole close up after a while.
It's funny you say that because, and let me guess, you went to what, Piercing Pagoda? Which is where you, like, with the, is that where you went in the mall? That little setup there?
Yeah,
the little
pagoda? The little kiosk?
That rings a bell, yeah.
Piercing Pagoda. So I did the same thing. Mine's still open too. I was messing around. I put Jen's big diamond in once. Mm-hmm. I told you. I think I wore Sharp Tierney.
You did it for Sharp Tierney.
For Sharp Tierney.
Right. You definitely did. Last year, I remember that.
When I was in the middle of a heater, I had the gold, and I'm like, oh, we got to get the big diamond. So I did the same thing. Not in grammar school. My dad would have put me through a wall if I came home with
that baffles me that you got it.
Grammar school. No. But moms are generally softer than dads, and yes. My mom, too, because you had a sign if you were under 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was still borderline 15, like getting ready. I don't turn birthday not till the summer. So I was 15, and I guess I was a sophomore. And I'm like, it's time. Everybody's got them, and I got it. They give you that little $2 gold bowl that they stick in there. It's probably corroded,
that little gun, and they just...
the little staple. And then, but what happened, because my high school is Catholic, like his grammar school was, I put like a flesh-colored Band-Aid. I mean, they're all flesh, but this one like really matched my skin even more.
Yeah.
And I got rid of the actual gauze part, and I just had the sticker part that I definitely put over the earring. So every time I walked down the hall and I would see the headmaster, one of the priests, I would make sure I would turn my head. And I actually did it at dinner for about 3 nights, and my dad didn't see it. And then, of course, he saw it, and he didn't actually get as mad as I thought he would get. But then I got a second one, and now he's like, you look like an absolute clown. But anyway, so I stopped wearing them probably. I mean, I can't front on you, Teague. I wore them a couple of years after college to the bars, man. I did. I got to be honest with you.
It was in.
Yeah, it was definitely in.
If I hadn't ripped my neck open, I probably would have still worn it in the NFL.
Oh, let me tell you something. If I was an NFL player, I would have a 5-carat diamond in my ear. There's no point. Unless I was a quarterback. If I played any other position, that's exactly what I would do. But Shaq buys this young man's engagement ring. Mm-hmm. I guess the young man was coming and paying it off in spurts, maybe layaway, I think is what Shaq actually said on air. And he bought it, which is a great gesture. He's one of the great guys, great person. But let's go around the horn here. Even if you were really scuffling for money, Teague, mm-hmm. would you let somebody pay for your engagement ring?
If I was this guy, probably yes, because it's a story that now you associate with your life forever. It's like the kid at the ring bearer or the flower girl. Like the mom or dad of the ring bearer or the flower girl is like, you cannot mess up. You have to do this perfectly.
Oh.
You are going to mess up.
No, not the mom or dad. The mom.
The dad doesn't really care. Whatever.
The dad's at the bar.
Either way,
Stop.
The kid is being instructed.
Yep.
You cannot mess. Do not drop it. You better not lose this.
Yep.
Walk straight. The reality is, if a flower girl or a ring bearer or whoever does something so off the wall, it's memorable, right?
Uh-huh.
It makes the day even more. Then you're getting married. It doesn't matter what happens around the actual ceremony and saying, yes, I do, and you start this union to hopefully last for a really long time.
Yep.
You know, conceivably for life. But it makes the wedding memorable, right?
Mm-hmm.
When something like that happens. This now is an addition to their story, which I actually kind of like.
But did now invite Shaq to the wedding? I mean, is Shaq going to start yucking it up at the pregame?
Absolutely.
You invite him to the wedding,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He bought your wedding ring. You've got to come to the wedding, Shaq.
I can't accept that. I can't accept that. Now, before I give you the reason why, D-Cell, you're recently married? You know, I remember what it was like in my 20s. I had no money. My late 20s, even when I was in the business, I was making peanuts. I'm not saying that you were actually making more than I was as an on-air talent, I'm sure. I was making $25,000 in my mid-20s. I was making nothing. So I get it. I also wasn't close to getting engaged at age 25, that's for sure. Would you allow somebody to pay for your engagement ring?
I've tossed and turned with this. I think I'd given his situation,
But what do you mean? You don't even know his situation.
Well, I mean, given that it was,
Shaq walked in the store.
Well,
and
how
put the
Shaq
card
described
down.
It. How Shaq described.
Okay,
the situation.
Go ahead. Okay.
Just put it on layaway. I mean, if you know he was going to be financing the ring, like, I mean, what's he supposed to do? It's like, Shaq. No, I got this. I mean,
yeah.
That's a tough spot. I think I'd be okay with it at the end of the day.
Not me. I would. I mean, listen, if Shaq intervened with and he wanted to hook me up with something from Sally May, pay off my student loans if I had any, it's a great thing. Shaq wants to cut a rent check for down payment for my first home. Shaq, hey,
well, what's the difference?
My hands are
what's
out,
the difference?
It's,
right?
This is because those are less personal things. That's, okay. That's the difference.
Well, so now you have money.
So I'm slipping this ring, no matter if it's a 5-carat or 1/10 of a carat. I'm getting down on my knee and I'm slipping this ring on what I hope to be my future wife's hand. And I'm basically slipping Shaq on the finger.
I can't
do that.
She doesn't know that.
Well, no, the whole world knows it now.
Well, because someone leaked it.
Know it.
Shaq didn't want it to be put out there.
That's
like
not,
that.
I agree with that. I don't think Shaq did it for clicks. I'm not saying that. I love Shaq. It's not about Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even trying to diss the young man. We all have points in our life where we can use a handout.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is the one spot for me. You guys are making me look bad because you're, of course, oh, yeah, of course I'd take it. I'm the only one saying I wouldn't take it. Santa, tell me what you would do. He's probably cheap. He would definitely take it. I just think that there's certain things that you have to muster up the funds to get. Like, that's got to be bought with my money.
Yeah. Santa says, depending on the situation, if I was really struggling financially to the point that it was severely impacting my life in a negative way.
Should you get married at that point?
Then hell yeah, he would take it.
Should you get married at that point?
Yeah, I mean, if it's time to get married, you get married. It's just, look, I don't know. Maybe there's a situation. Who knows? He's got to get married, you know? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm curious what a lot of our listeners would do. Don't get me wrong. I understand the appeal of free diamonds.
Hey,
that's not lost on me.
If it's free, I'll take three.
I got you. But now, hey, the first fight, and everybody has a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even buy me this ring. And she takes up, she fires it at him. This guy's going to have this hanging over his head for the rest of his life. That's the other thing. Going to be hanging over his head for the rest of his life.
Well, if he thinks that's going to happen, then he's marrying the wrong girl. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's a good response. That's true. That is very true. I don't know. I have nowhere else to take it, and I'm not trying to expose her. If this wasn't online, I wouldn't even brought this.
Of course not. I mean, if Shaq hadn't done this, well, if it hadn't been recorded, I don't even know who recorded it. By the way,
I think Shaq's people.
Yeah, but why did they release it if he didn't want to release?
That's the one thing that's a little fishy.
Yeah, agreed. It's odd.
Because
the camera was like Shaq's height. It wasn't like the kids, guy's height. I don't know. I agree with you, BT.
Yeah, it seems a little choreographed.
Now maybe he has actual ownership in the store.
He has a line of jewelry.
He has
in
a
the
line,
store.
But I'm saying he actually has, I don't know, Zales. I don't think they're a franchise. Are they a franchise?
Yeah, definitely a franchise.
Maybe he has the franchise, and he's technically doing this on the franchise.
Well, is he going to write this off as an expense?
I don't know. It's Zales doing the solid by.
It's promotion. It's advertising.
It's promotion. It is. Is it not?
Shaq makes more money. He writes it off as advertising.
BT,
the rich stay richer.
Have we not been talking about Zales for the last 12 minutes?
I hear you, man.
It's advertising for Zales.
Here's what the young man should do. And I don't care if it takes him 20 years to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to throw out a whole number, all right? I'll say, let's just say the ring is $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work with a whole number, right?
Yep.
He should stash away a little money, all right? And then once he gets to the number, whatever, we'll say it's five. Once he gets to the 5,000 threshold, he should then donate that money to either Shaq's favorite charity, something that gets him a little distance from Shaq being so intimately involved in what is supposed to be, up until that point for sure, the most important purchase as a man.
That's a good resolution.
Of course it is.
If he did that,
just need a time to get it out.
That would work.
All right.
That would work.
By the way, you pumped up about Adoree Jackson? I know we keep talking about Kenny Golladay because he's going to join us next. Giants' new defensive back. What do you think?
I'm pumped up, and I'm excited to hear about his journey to Giants land because it seemed like he was sought after by a lot of different folks, and then all of a sudden,
he gets a
note from the Giants and one of his former teammates, and it's like, screw everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm signing with the Giants.
And we're going to get that story. We're going to get with them in a few minutes. So real quick before we get the break and talk to one of the newest Giants here, who should be pretty good this year, much improved, we would think. It came out that, like, Nick Saban, that the Niners, at the pro day of Mac Jones, that the Niners did not ask Nick Saban anything about Mac Jones, nor have they, at least to my knowledge. I don't know if it was just at the pro day or encompassing everything. I mean, I don't make much of it because, number one, the draft process isn't over yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been drafted yet.
Nope.
But I also don't know if I fully believe that when Nick Saban states that, because maybe he's not trying to give away somebody else's business. What'd you make of that?
Maybe. But I also think that the 49ers don't actually have their eyes set on Mac Jones. As I said at the beginning of this show and said last week as well, I think they're going after Trey Lance. They want someone who is not going to come in and play right away. They want someone who they can develop into being their future stud with a super high ceiling. That's either Justin Fields or Trey Lance.
Yep.
And that's why Jimmy Garoppolo is being touted as their starter for 2021. Because he's under contract for 2021. Why waste an asset, especially when you know you're going to draft, put in quotes, a project in some sense of the word.
Okay. All right. We'll follow that. But that is an interesting take by you. You have said that. You're on the record. You know, everybody else is thinking Mac Jones, some outliers, maybe Justin Fields. But
well, it all comes down to my point. I say it every time, BT. Unless you think your quarterback can be a Hall of Famer, don't take him in the top 10.
Yep. Yep. But where's the evidence about Trey Lance that you think he could be a Hall of Famer?
There isn't one. He just has ridiculous skill. He throws probably the best deep ball in the class. He's an athlete who can make plays on the run, a la Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big kid. He's apparently extraordinarily smart as well.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to project, that's a kid that kind of looks – and he's I think he's biracial too, isn't he? And so
that I'm not sure about.
He looks dark-skinned. I can't tell what he is, actually, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's just a white guy who has dark skin. I don't know.
I don't think he's getting much of a tan out in the Dakotas.
No, I don't either. So I think he fits the bill a little bit. That is the – he kind of looks like Pat Mahomes, does all the things Pat Mahomes does. So I think
draft guys on skin color now?
No. Just all the other things as well. But literally,
he's an intriguing prospect.
But literally, though, he kind of looks that way as well.
Yeah.
So it's a turn of word.
The thing,
I think he's got the most upside, at least in people's minds. But they have no idea because he played at North Dakota State.
Yeah, and he played one game this year, and it wasn't particularly impressive. Who knows what kind of shape the team was in? You can't pin it all on that one game.
Yeah.
It's been an incredibly odd year with the pandemic. But
he scares me, though. One season, that's all.
Yeah,
one season, one game.
Yeah. The thing that really has come out of his workouts, out of his pro day, is that everybody tends to illuminate his intelligence. We all know he's got a rocket, and he's got the requisite tools.
Yep.
Big kid, smart, big arm, big arm. But when I hear people, who know the game and can talk about intelligence traits pertaining to a quarterback, that's good to hear.
That's right.
I mean, if you're a 49er fan, I would still be surprised if they take him, but you've established that point. And if you're right, you will probably be among the first who actually said that. We'll see. All right, T, coming up, Giants should be better. NFC East overall should be a little bit better. Adoree Jackson, they tightened up that secondary, their newest pickup. Also got a great wide receiver. Big year for Daniel Jones. Second year for the coach, Joe Judge. We'll get with Adoree Jackson next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So if you listen to us and have listened to us for a while, I'll say on occasion, Sport X is better when so-and-so team or division is flourishing. And I think that certainly applies to the NFC East, which has been a mess the last couple of years. We know what's going on or what went on with Carson Wentz and the Eagles. They've been all over the map. We'll see where they go at this point. For 2 years, we debated Dak Prescott's contract. Washington, while they're seemingly on the up, they've had a real rough journey last couple of years. And so, too, had the New York Football Giants up until a flash of optimism a year ago under Joe Judge, and even more optimism this offseason, signing some ballers, Galladay from Detroit, and Teague. They stabilized the backfield with another good pickup with Adoree Jackson, who was formerly of the Titans, and Adoree's with us here on Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Adoree, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Awesome. We are doing fantastic. Welcome to Giants World. We're excited to have you here for sure. BT and I were speculating about how this actually came about because I know you were highly sought after in the free agent world this year, and it seemed like you came to the Giants and then you never left the Giants. How did this happen for you?
Pretty much. It was just one of those things where I was always praying for clarity about, you know, where I wanted to go and where I wanted to be, and a lot of the dots were connecting for me with people that I probably formerly played with, with the Titans, or when I was in college, or just knowing people through high school from the circuit, you know, growing up playing ball. And then a lot of coaches that recruited me when I was in high school as well, and they're there with the Giants. So it was just a lot of things and pieces that were getting put together for me that I felt like this was, you know, the best decision for me, and it felt like home.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I know I saw that we all saw the Instagram photo. I think it was Instagram, maybe it was Twitter, with you with Logan Ryan and the influence that he had. And, you know, BT can attest to this. I know this because I played for the Giants. It hasn't been a free agent destination in a while, New York. Did Joe Judge have anything to do with your decision to come here? We know what he's perceived or how he's perceived in the media, but from a player standpoint, what was his influence on you?
I'm just being able to talk to him, and, you know, like you said, what you guys see from the outside is always different. So to be able to, you know, get into the office, sit down with him, talk to him, and be able to pick his brain, not just about football, but about life and different aspects of where I'm trying to be and where I see myself as, and just talking to him and a lot of his values and things that he wanted in a player or as a person regular in life added up to what I wanted to be. So I think that was very key for me when being able to sit down and talk with him.
So with Toto Adoree Jackson, newest pickup at the Giants here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Adoree, what is your perception of Daniel Jones now? And let's face it, you'll make your money doing your thing on defense, but if the offense isn't cranking up the points, it's tough to win a lot of games. How much you know about Daniel's game, and what do you think of your new quarterback?
I've seen, you know, the throws and the things that he's been able to do. Can, you know, mobile, can move, can throw the ball on the money as well, being able just to see some of the games, you know, following up on Logan, just watching him. So I was tapped in, you know, a bunch more, you know, watching the Giants play because, you know, Logan's a former teammate of mine and just wanted to see him thrive and excel. So I've seen him, you know, play, and I like his game. You know, that's as much as I can say. I won't say that I know too much about him. I'm not about to be that guy.
I got you.
I know a lot about him. But seeing the games that I did see and seeing the things that he's done and what he's with, I like his game a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I always say this to BT. Nobody loves you like your mama. That is, the team that drafts you, nobody's going to love you just like the team that drafted you. But you come to New York, and you know how pressure-filled it is to play here, the media, the fans, the scrutiny. Was that daunting to you, or was that something that you actually embrace?
I think it's one of the things that I embrace. It's all about controlling what you can control. And, you know, at the end of the day, I can't control anybody's opinions, anybody's thoughts about me or about the team. The only thing that we control when we're out there is how we play and we produce. And if we can just focus on ourselves and focus on each other, you know, while we're out there, I think things can be on the great and be on the up. And I feel like that's how I looked about it when I, you know, heard about, you know, coming to New York or being in, you know, it might be hectic with the media or the expectations, but it's just one of those things when you go play ball, that's what you put on your shoulder. You know, it's the weight that you take with it, and you want to go out there and try to exceed past expectations and just thrive.
Teek, any tips? You've been through it, man. Just play well. That's
yeah,
a starting
exactly.
point.
No, you know the cliche, Adoree. You look good, feel good, play good. You get paid good. You already paid good, so you already got the last part right. But New York will embrace you if you just ball. If you are predictably balling, that is, do it every single week. I think you know that. You've been a high leveraged and high profile player since your days, and I'm sure in high school and obviously at USC as well. What do you expect the difference is going to be between the defenses that you ran in Tennessee and what the Giants are going to run? What are you going to be asked to do? Have you gotten that deep yet?
Not really gotten that deep. I really just got my iPad and just going to go talk to PG, Coach Graham, and see, you know, what the things that he wanted and like. But just talking to the guys, pretty much the only thing I expect for us is just to fly around and have fun and enjoy the game, learn. That's what we talked about a lot, just about learning, you know, what they expect, what they're looking for in a player, and what they want for somebody as a teammate. in that aspect. So I know just learning the game, being a student of the game, and going out there and playing and having fun and just, you know, not bantering but going back and forth to see, you know, okay, I seen it like this. What do you think? Or how is this going this way? Or what do you think about this? So that's what I pretty much see us just bouncing ideas off of each other and just learning and growing. And I feel like, you know, playing with Logan before and knowing what he brings to the table with his smarts and his IQ, just a good person, a good player. I feel like that's great to have on the back end.
That's Adoree Jackson of the Giants here. So I'm always curious how it works. You're a young guy. You're in your mid-20s. By the way, are you married? Any family, or is you just still rolling solo at this point?
Oh, no, I'm not married.
Okay. So you signed with the Giants. You know, you had established a setup in a different city. I mean, have you moved yet? Have you found – do you go for the house? Do you go for an apartment and then transit? How do you – when you're actually moving, I think a lot of people are like, well, they don't factor in that you guys are still human beings and you actually have to do this. Where are you at in the moving process? Did you bounce yet or no?
No, I did not. And I had got a spot out there in Tennessee. So it's just me just holding on to it because I don't want to just rush and take everything and get up out of there. I want to make sure everything that when I do move and when I do leave, it makes sense and it's right. You know, I get the right spot, not just trying to rush into something and rush into anything. So at least I don't have to worry about my belongings there.
Yeah,
at the time, I have family down there, so they'll be able to watch anything for me that is need be. And then by that time, you know, we'd pack everything up and thinking about taking a trip, you know, down to Jersey to find something and see what's going to be beneficial and convenient, not just for me, but my family. And that's pretty much how I'm rolling about it, just taking it a day at a time but not trying to take it too slow because, you know, those days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months. And next thing you know, it's going to be camp and the season is here. So for sure going to be on top of it and trying to find something. To stay.
Well, you know how the coronavirus destroyed the economy everywhere, and it devastated real estate prices in New York City. Adoree, when I played, I lived on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and it was amazing. It takes some getting used to, but if I was give you a little piece of advice, and you have some money in your pocket, invest in real estate in New York City because it's at a low right now, and it's only going to go higher again.
That's true. And also keep the real estate in Tennessee. Rent that out for a little bit
because
we know that's the fastest growing city. Don't sell it. Hold on to it.
Yeah.
Of course. I'll for sure be doing that. That's why I'm holding on tight to it, trying to wait for the market and everything around it makes sense for when I do. You know, planning to rent it out, it's beneficial.
Yeah, we love down there in Tennessee, Nashville.
It's awesome.
It's amazing. I didn't realize until we went for the draft a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adoree, when I think about, you know, this Giants team, just historically, it's always been defense that's been the key to some of their biggest successes. Even with Eli winning the Super Bowl MVP, they beat the Patriots because the defense got after Tom Brady and that Pats offense. You go back to the LT days, there's a storied history of great defenders here in New York. Can you see yourself fitting into that realm, that storyline? Is that one of the reasons to come to New York?
That's always the plan. I mean, think about the history and, you know, Super Bowls that came through there. And then it's one of those things where you want to be a part of that. You want to be a part of something great and be a part of some tradition. And I feel like, you know, when I talk to the guys, Logan or wherever it may be, that's one of the main things we talk about, just trying to be special, be great, and putting a dent in the history, because at the end of the day, you know, history keeps going and keeps going, but just try to put a dent and get your name and embark in it. It's one of the things that is a great feeling to have. I mean, everybody dreamed of it. Growing up from playing Pop Warner to even if you're in the league now, about trying to win a Super Bowl, be a part of something great. Yeah, there's a great offense, a great defense, but you always hear the story, defense wins championships and offense sells, you know, tickets. So one of the things where playing on the defensive side, it's like, man, it's an honor, you know, to play defense and especially to play it in New York.
Well, I'm a Jets fan, so it pains me to say this, but I got to keep it real. Giants fans are phenomenal. They're going to embrace you. They are great. You're playing for a great organization, great fan base. And by the way, you know, your buddy Sam Darnold, if he didn't get dealt the other day, you guys could have caught up for a beer. I mean, are you surprised? I got to ask you about Darnold. You're both USC guys. Are you surprised that he was first of all, are you guys friends? Have you talked to Sam Darnold at all in the last couple of weeks or no?
No, I haven't talked to him because I know it's hectic. And when news broke about me, I already know how crazy it was. And so I just wanted to give him some time. And then eventually, you know, I'll just reach out and tell him congrats. I'm happy for him and excited. And I play with him. And some of the things that, you know, he's done at USC and even in the league. And, you know, it's just crazy to hear, you know, things people may say about a player, about a person, and really not know him and know what's going on. So I'm just happy for him. You know, one of the things that I can't, you know, in Tennessee, Coach Vrabel talked about having second chances. And he was like, it's rare that you really – you get second chances. And, you know, for the opportunity for things to happen the way they did for him with the Jets and him getting another opportunity to go out there and thrive and shine, you know, it's one of those things where I'm just happy for him. It's one of the things, you know, genuinely just happy. I just want to see him succeed because not just playing with him, but just knowing him as a person.
I'm with you.
I know he's a great guy.
I think he's going to do well. I think a lot of people expect a little renaissance out there in Carolina. Teek, I'll let you say goodbye to your guy, yeah, Giant to Giant. Go ahead, pal.
Yeah, man, just good luck to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you out there, I'm sure. Hopefully we'll be able to get to some games this year. Last year it was all empties over at the at Giant Stadium, or the Meadowlands, I should say.
Yeah, you better start calling it. Yeah, it's not Giant Stadium anymore, buddy.
Dude, I played Giant Stadium.
Yeah,
Giant
yeah, but
Stadium,
you're not man. Playing now, so it ain't Giant
even
Stadium.
It's not even Giant Stadium
It's MetLife.
But Adore, good luck to you. Appreciate you hopping on with us for a little bit, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you sometime down the line once we get closer to the season.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you a lot, and you guys for having me, and I want to wish you a happy birthday. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you, brother.
You know, take care and have a blessing.
Appreciate nice. You. Adore you,
man. Nice. Happy birthday from the newest Giant. Very good.
Our secondary is starting to look really good right now.
I know.
I'm telling you.
I know.
James Bradbury. Peppers. If he gets healthy again. Yes. Logan Ryan, who was his boy, obviously, and now Adoree Jackson.
You got Blake Martinez in the middle tackling everybody. Yeah. You guys, you know.
That's right.
You got Leonard Williams, who's
re-signed.
You guys
deal.
Should be good, Teek. You got, well, I'll tell you what, if this was the old days, right? I know the guys aren't going to be hitting each other in camp, but if this was the old days, even your day, then the defense for the Giants going up against the Giant, like Saquon's back, and obviously you bring Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard's pretty good, Ingram, he drops some, but he's a good weapon. Like, that would be a fun little matchup to watch in camp, offense, defense.
Like physicality, I agree with you. Yeah. And we got some dogs on the offensive line a little bit, too.
Yeah, so. Giants going to be good this year. I'm bullish on the G-men. The first time in years, I'm bullish on them.
Me too.
All right, let's get the update. Axe got that. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast on a busy Wednesday. Don't forget Scott Drew tomorrow. Of the national champion Baylor Bears. That'll be sweet. Masters tomorrow as well. But right now we have Axe Update. Here he is. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let's answer our As the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, got a couple of good ones to choose from. We have selected this one from Junior in New Mexico. And Junior queries, good one. It's a guess, but it's a good topical question. How many games do we think Deshaun Watson will play next season? Wow. I mean, talk about throwing a dart against the wall, but 10. Go ahead.
10. He's going to get suspended for the first 6.
Right now, I don't think he plays a game next season. Mm-hmm. Right now. It's a tough question because it's the margin for error is wide. But I'd say he's not going to play next season and hope I'm wrong and hope that, you know, this goes away. And if he did do this, then he shouldn't play. And that's all there is to it. So we'll see. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So we'll get to the blast here in a moment. Teek, I put a little poll question up on my page, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pertaining to the Shaq conversation. If a celebrity offered to pay for your engagement ring, would you accept?
And?
All right. Right now, the two options, hook me up, and the other one is nope, no chance, too personal. 83.8% of people or mooches. They say, hook me up. Hands out, hook it up. Man, oh, man.
That's what you should do.
I wouldn't do it. I'm in the 16.2%, but it's all good. You ready for the blast? See what we got?
I am. Let's do it.
Go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Mr. Barber. Birthday boy, Tiki. With all the focus on the top 5 quarterbacks in the draft, who's the best option outside the main group? We know who the main group is. Mm-hmm. Is it somebody like maybe Davis Mills or Mond or Trask? Who do you got? The best option outside of the big 5?
I'm going to say Kellen Mond. He's big. He's 6'4". He's 230. He's got a little bit of athleticism as well. Actually, a lot of athleticism because that's what they used him for at Texas A&M. And he's got a big arm. So I think the potential is there. He's older than I think a lot of these other guys.
Yep.
But he might be he could be a steal in like the 3rd round or 4th round if he could pan out. He's obviously not going to start right away. That expectation is not going to be high.
Yeah.
Like something like the other guys that we're talking about. But I kind of like Kellen Mond.
Well, I don't think any of these guys are starting right away. The only one who I think who has a fighter's chance to even have a chance to maybe play as a rookie would be Trask, depending upon where he goes. That's my choice. I was on him last season, early last season, pointing. I know he's not a great athlete. I get some of the deficiencies, but
I pointed to in October and November just some incredibly high-level pro throws that made him very intriguing for me. So if I was saying it then, you better believe I'm saying it now. Trask. No relation to Amy. And, of course, hi, Amy. In his two games since returning from injury, Joel Embiid putting up 30 points on 46% shooting overall. And he's got to the free throw line ready 37 times. Talk about a procession right there. 37 times in two games. It's crazy. I mean, think about that. Phillies won both games handily over the T-Wolves, who pretty much stink, in Boston, who really isn't that good either. I know that we're supposed to say that they're good. They're really not that good.
How disappointing is Boston? Oh,
incredibly, yeah. Should Joel Embiid still be in the MVP conversation despite missing significant time? I think it's a lot of it's based on circumstances. Number one, he cannot have another interruption the rest of the way. If he that's a given. Like, that's a starting point. Anything else is a conversation ender. If he sprains an ankle and misses five or six. No, if he plays every game and he balls out and they're the one seed, he's right there for me still. And I'd also have to see, and I don't know this off the top of my head. I know it was okay, but I need to look at what their record was without him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they completely drowned by any stretch. But, yeah, to me, he's still in the – he's not going to win, but he's still in the conversation.
Yeah, I think he should be in the conversation, but I don't think he's going to win. I think Jokic is going to probably end up running away with this thing at some
Joker.
Point. The Joker. Midnight because everybody else Joker. Is falling by the wayside, right, with injuries. LeBron and now Embiid, and I think you're absolutely right about that. For even being the top five, he's got to not be hurt anymore.
Yeah.
James Harden is now out. He's going to be out for 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, at least 10 days. Yeah.
Yep,
no real buzz for Giannis. He's won back-to-back, but no real buzz.
Exactly. So I'm going to say, yeah, he's still in the conversation, but I think the Joker is going to win this one.
Okay. The Hawks were pretty hot last night. They set an NBA record in their win over the Pels, connecting on 11 out of 11 three-pointers in one quarter, in the third quarter. I was watching this morning on SportsCenter.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
Right? How they just went 1-2, like in succession. It was pretty wild. 11 of 11 in the third quarter. Sick. The most threes in a single quarter without a miss ever. So do the Hawks need to excel at this style of play in order to win, or is this fool's gold?
I mean, of course it's fool's gold. No one can fully win this way. Even the Golden State Warriors, who set records when they were starting that dynasty of three-point attempts and makes, still had some presence in the post with Draymond and some others. So they need to embrace this and try to champion and integrate it, but it can't be their sole way of trying to win, because there are going to be days, probably many of them, where they go at stone cold and they'll get blown out trying to win this way.
Yep. I tell you what, I would really like to see what the Hawks would have been if McMillan was on the bench the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Warriors the other day, how, you know, where we picked him preseason. I think I had him eighth, you had him sixth, not that far off. I believe I had the Atlanta Hawks in the third spot in the Eastern, third or fourth.
Yeah, I think I had him up there too, dude.
You did as well?
Yeah.
So we both had him hosting a first-round series. They just had too much talent to mess around the way they did, and their fourth quarter finishes were really, they were just not well coached. So this is a good style of play in the modern NBA. And quite frankly, the way they're constructed, this is their best recipe to win. But of course, 11 of 11, nobody's doing that again maybe for 30 years. So last night, a bit of fool's gold, but that's their style. And it's working for them. They're playing great. So the Oakland A's have had playoff aspirations coming in. And they're usually a very good team, despite a low payroll, coming into the season. But they're 0-6 so far. And they're playing right now. They're losing 3-1 to the Dodgers, so they're in jeopardy of going 0-7. So at what point does a slow start turn worrisome for baseball teams? You know, very distinct difference. You hear, when a slow start for a player can morph into a bad season. Like,
yeah.
That's different, because you can have a star go 7-56 and then he get in April and hit, I don't know what the math is, and I hit 071.
Yeah.
And if some sticks around them, or you pitch well enough, you could scrap out some wins, even if it's a superstar. But when you start out 0-7, as if they do, if they lose today, hell, even 1-6 isn't any good. Yeah, you got some problems there. Now, they are a very resilient team, well-run, well-coached as well. But the problem is the Astros are a little bit better than I thought they would be. They're playing crisp baseball, and the Angels are finally seemingly ready to play competitive ball for 6 months and win more than they lose. So right now they're minimally the third best team in the league, in the division, pardon me. And when you start getting into that position, wild cards are out of play. They better start winning fast. This is getting bad.
Yeah, the problem is they start with the Houston Astros. They lost four. They then go to the Dodgers. They're going to lose three. Then they go back. They lost four to the Astros at home. Now they're
going. That was in Oakland.
Now they're going to Houston right after this Dodgers series to play three more. Jeez. They're going to start this season 10-0-10.
I'll make you a bet that they don't start 0-10.
Okay, here's why I think they will, BT. 8-9-9-9-10-5. Those are the runs they've given up in their first six. Tons of runs they're giving up.
Somebody wants to wish you happy birthday. Say happy birthday to Uncle Tiki.
Happy birthday, Uncle Tiki.
What's up, little buddy? You can't hear me. Sorry, but thank you.
You obviously can't hear Tiki, but he said thank you very much. Tell him happy birthday again. Have a great night, okay?
Happy birthday. Have a good night.
Thank you. You look awesome, dude.
He said you look awesome. We got baseball practice in a second. And, of course, when one comes on camera, the other one won. Say happy birthday, kids. Say happy birthday to Uncle Tiki real quick, baby.
Happy birthday, Tiki.
Thank you, sweetheart. You look lovely.
He said you look beautiful. You look lovely. Daddy's got to get
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you, sweetheart.
That's awesome.
Happy birthday.
That makes my day.
Coach B's got practice right, so I had to change my gear, if you remember.
Oh, I did. I didn't even notice until you said.
I got to gear it up, man, because with Passover and with Easter, the kids have – we got to get these 5- and 6-year-olds back on the turf field tonight.
Nice.
Start running the bases. We got to start hitting some fungos. We got to get back to work here, buddy.
Nice.
All right, where are we?
Are we worried? Yes, I'm worried. Because they're giving up 8.5 runs a game, BT.
No, that's horrendous. But we need – what's the bet? You say they're going to go – you can't make these bold proclamations and not back it up.
They're not going 0-10.
They're not going 0-10.
What are we betting here?
How about – we bet a nice bottle of scotch.
Perfect.
Japanese scotch in honor of Steve Lavin from yesterday.
Yes. And you got to get me the Hibiki.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Steve sent me 7 bottles on text, so I'll send them to you.
All right.
One of those bottles, okay?
Perfect.
There you go, brother. You're on.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
So I mean, I hope they don't go 0-10, but geez.
They got
the bad unluck of the draw.
That is a tough way to start the season. Good God. The Dodgers mixed in there. I mean, first of all, any America League team that's got to play the Dodgers early.
Yes.
And then you also have to mix in the Astros, who are, again, a little, you know, the key to the Astros, what are their keys? You know, McCullers is a guy that I've always liked, but he had Tommy John. He's got a nasty breaking ball, and he just got the relatively big contract this offseason. He had 7 or 8 strikeouts his first start. He's pitching well. They're hitting. I mean, you know, Dusty's a good skipper. So that's problems for the A's. But 0-10, I don't see 0-10. We'll see. And if they go 0-10, you get a good bottle of scotch.
Yeah, if they don't, you get one, and I'm going to come over and drink half of it.
That's right, sucker. On the new porch when they're ripping up my yard right now.
I love it.
Exactly. Teak, happy birthday. Seriously, buddy.
Thank you, have a great night, man. Appreciate you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Me too. Happy birthday to my partner. Happy Wednesday to you. Safe, sensible, same. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.